Yo, it's about time you come record this. I'm coming over here, keep it sharp like a swordfish. You can't afford this, this is for the Forbes. This is for the kids who ain't riding around in Ford's kids. I wish you're thinking I'm riding around in Hondas. Bitches be thinking my dick looking like anaconda. She thinking I'll be bad, bitches chilling, their name is Rhonda. Yeah.
This is the Meandra Accredited News Network, and this is one of my first official interview, part of the interview series. And I'm bringing in one of a good old pal. We go way back, actually.
Way back.
And he's a rapper. He's the dream catcher, a maverick. Hey. He's an up and comer. So, Ian Sotoloff. Yes, is that so? Just give us a background. Who you are? Where you from? Why are you doing what you're doing?
From Newton, Mass. Originally, born in Florida.
I had no idea you were born in Florida.
Yeah, Fort Lauderdale, South Beach.
Hey, I always heard that Rick Ross.
Yeah, right?
I'm kidding.
And moved to Boston, graduated with an English degree at Nicholls College, which is like right outside of Worcester.
Congratulations.
Thank you, yeah. And now I'm just working on my poetry, doing this hip hop. I got onto mindfulness and crystal healing.
Yeah. We're actually just talking about that. We're going to jump back into that in a little bit.
Cool. Yeah, for sure. But yeah, it's just a little background of what I'm doing.
So, like, what I want to know is, like, when did hip hop begin? When was hip hop or rap or poetry, whatever you want to call it, when did that start? How old were you and what made you make that switch?
I was in third grade and I wrote a poem called Mrs. Sun.
Mrs. Sun?
Oh, no. It was Hello, Mrs. Cloud. And it was about a kid who was laying on the fields looking up and talking to a cloud. And the cloud was Mrs. Cloud. And I got it published in the elementary school newspaper, magazine. Yeah, it was cool.
Congratulations.
And like, I kind of just continued to write poetry, but like on the side, it wasn't really something that like I told people or like made a part of who I am. And so I got to college. And I had originally went to college for hospitality, and I'm sitting there, sophomore year, and like, I'm looking over my transcript, and I'm getting like, you know, like C's and like B minuses and minus, but I was getting
by.
Yeah, but
definition
I was
definition of getting by
for real, and like I was getting all A's and like B pluses in my English classes, and I was like, yo, why don't I just become an English major, like. I'm just gonna read and write poetry all day, like that'd be dope. And like all the professors at the school were sweet, so I was like, yeah, let's do that. And then I've always been rapping, you know, I was influenced by, you know, Trap Called Quest, Biggie, Pac, Far Side, you know, all those old school cats, Common, Wu-Tang Clan, like all of them, you know, early when I was like 13, 14, like I'd already marked off all those guys, Black Star, all that. And I started writing rhymes around like junior year. I'd be in the middle of like Spanish class, like writing lines, and the teacher would come over and like, put that away, man. We're studying right now. You know, I started freestyling at the lunch tables, and then I got to school and like, connected with some other people who rapped, and like we would just rap and freestyle like all day. It was dope.
Yeah, so like we went to the same high school, and it's a big high school.
Like 2,500 people.
Exactly.
Yeah,
so we actually had Mr. Goddard's hip hop class.
Yo, yes, so, dude, that class influenced me so much. I actually went back and read poetry in that class.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, like 2 years ago.
Hey.
Yeah, he brought me in for like two blocks, and I just sat back and chilled and like played my music and like. Read a couple poems. Yeah,
Goddard.
It was dope. Goddard's a legend for that.
Oh,
shout out Mr. Goddard.
Yeah, so we had that class. But what I was saying is, it's such a big school. I knew you were into hip hop, but I thought you were into hip hop. Like I thought you like the culture because you had that hip hop style. Like you dressed like you were in like the Fresh Prince. Like you looked like hip hop, right? But I didn't know you were ever like a rapper.
Yeah, poetry. I was trying to understand the culture. Before I could, you know, go into it and see if I could do it myself, because the way I saw it was that, like, if I'm gonna rap, like, my goofy ass, like, I'm gonna rap, and I'm gonna drop bars, and I'm gonna make sure that when people finally do get around to listening to it, they're gonna listen to it and be like,
hey,
this is you, no way, this is too good.
And I'm gonna be playing some of his tunes throughout the interview, so.
Dope, yeah. And then I kind of just spiraled and spiraled and spiraled, and I started networking and meeting new people and reaching out to new people. And, you know, everybody I showed my music to was like, yo, this is so dope.
Yes.
And, like, so I never really had a chance to, I didn't have a reason to stop, because it was like, the way I put it was like, if I put my music out and people just shit on it and hate it, like, all right, word, I'm not a rapper. I'm gonna stop.
Exactly. So, like, you won't know until you know.
Yeah, and then I kind of just dropped this song, and like everybody was fucking with it. It was dope.
Which one is it? Because I was gonna actually tell you. So when I asked them to have the interview, I went and I listened to as many songs as I could find of you.
Yeah.
So I went through your SoundCloud, and there's only like three or four on
your
SoundCloud.
Yeah, there's a couple. There's only a couple. Yeah. All right.
Oh, so that's what we have so far.
Yeah.
Making sure. But the one I liked. I don't know what it's called, but it's like the hook, the chorus is like, why would I be so
racist? Yeah, Live Free, that's my new song, reggae song.
Yeah.
My mind's elevated, sedated, and highly educated, especially when I'm medicated and meditating and anticipating my fate with hopes to escape those who hate. Love yourself and only have great days. So now I do all my fate says, reviving the elements with intelligence. Every other rapper is irrelevant. So while I speak with elegance, so what you're hearing now is constellations in your presence. I live free.
Yeah, man. That's my latest song that I dropped. And that's been all over the internet too. It's gotten on a couple blogs in the Midwest. Like, it was on This Is 50.
Yeah.
You know, it's got like 45,000 views on it right now.
45.
It's like work. It's like work. I want to see those 100K's, but you know, meals. But we'll get there.
Because that's legit. That was by far my favorite. But I also there was another.
Remember Me?
I don't remember the.
It's like a boom bap, mellow type song.
There was another rapper in it.
Oh, Suns Out, Guns Out?
Yes.
Yeah. That was like the cliche recorded in the college dorm room closet with the mic hanging out from the closet and shit. We was just like, yo, let's record it. One take. I'm like, one take, did it.
I know, because it sounds so raw. Yeah.
It was like unmixed and unmastered, like on this little shitty USB mic that like my hobby bought for like $80, dude. Like, yeah.
No, it was like, when I listened to that, I was like, okay, we're going. That's
yeah, good. Dude, yeah.
And was it really one take though?
Yeah, like one or two.
Okay.
Like one or two. Like, we didn't spend like a week on that song. We was there for like a couple hours. We're like, yeah, this is cool. Like, I'm good. Just grab me with this one. Like, let's go.
So where are you right now? Where are you? So like, are you recording? Do you have like
studio time?
Do you... Like, what's the situation?
I'm cooling it now. Because, like, the way I see, like, my music is, like, I want really people to digest my music and, like, listen to it and absorb it and, like, appreciate it and, like, fiend for more. Like, yo, Ian, drop something, please. Like, I can't. Like, I need something new. And it's like, all right, cool, I'll drop it. But, like, I'm working on a song with Kyle Bent right now. Kyle Bent is another mass rapper who's, like, the man, like,
yeah.
He just got off a tour with Token, Joyner Lucas, and Hobson.
Okay. I'm just going to be honest. The only one I know on that list is Hobson.
Yeah.
But
Well, Token and Joyner Lucas are also mass rappers. And
they're
like huge. Yeah, they're like huge. Like, millions of views on their videos. Like, respect from big names. You know, like, Token has Mark Wahlberg on his side.
Holy
like,
shit.
Yeah, man. Holy like, shit. Yeah, like, dropped his album for free. And it landed up at the number 3 hip hop charts. Like, yeah, shout out to Token. Check him out. He's a problem.
I'll be putting all this information in the description box below. So tell me the process. First, I want to know the process of you writing rap. How does it come to you? Like that process. And then after that, I also want to know the process of like the game. Like, when you drop a song, is it like, am I putting it on YouTube, on SoundCloud, and I'm like, like,
yeah,
basically selling shit up my, you know, the trunk, but in the 21st century.
Yeah. Okay. The process of me writing raps is funny. I have like 100 poems in my phone, and so that I've just written free writing. You know, that I'll share like poetry readings or whatever. Or like,
do you go to those?
Not as much as I would like to. Like, okay. I would want to do more, but like, I just can't.
Okay.
I just don't. And but I should. Should do that.
Yeah, please let me know when you do.
For sure.
I'm sure it'll be bomb.
And so what I do is I just take these beats that I'm listening to, or like if I find something and I'm like, oh, like I have a concept for this song and I think I wrote a poem about this concept. I'm gonna see if it works.
Oh.
And so like I take the poem for the concept of the song and then merge it. And so like sometimes it doesn't work out and like other times it just like fucking flows perfectly.
So
it's like
cool. How much of the time are you like the beat? Like is the beat the absolute last thing for you?
Well, it depends. Like sometimes I'll sit with a beat and I'll write to it, you know? Oh, and like okay. I'll construct a song and I'll sit there for hours, you know, writing it. Or, you know, other times like if I'm in a zone or something or something hits me, I can just one take it, write something one. And I'm like, yo, this is dope. Cool, word, let's like get it down. And then I gotta rehearse the lyrics to the song and make sure it all matches up. And then once I do that, you know, mix with the flows and the delivery and the sounds and if I wanna switch it up, do double time, this, that, and the third. When the song is completely finished, which is funny because like I was thinking about it, I was like, none of these songs are like exactly like really finished to where I like. Like when the album drops, like I want to have some scratches on Live Free, you know, like some crazy, like some like real like hip hop, so you like feel it in there, and it's like word, like this wasn't what he had out last time. This is something new, so it like kind of refreshes the listener's ear. Mm. And when I'm dropping music, I'm trying to think of like the average Joe.
Okay.
So it's like I want to think of like who hasn't heard my music, because there's people who have heard my music and know I'm good and like. I can come with it.
Yeah.
But then there's people who have no idea who 1142 is, who I am. And so my thing is like, I don't want to drop a song unless it's just as good as the last one dropped. So that, let's say you hear my song, Breathe, Relax, and Meditate.
Yes.
Which is my next song coming out. But you haven't heard Live Free or Remember
You heard
Me.
That here first. Next song
yes,
coming
sir.
Out.
And that's, if that, like that song is going to be dope. Like okay. Super dope. And let's say you hear that and you're like, boy, this is dope. Like, I need to hear more. Like, what else does he have? Oh, he's got Live Free and Remember Me. Let's check those out. Oh, wow, this is so good. Like, wow, he's actually doing it.
So you're not looking for the one-hit wonder.
I think all my songs could be one-hit wonders.
Well, excuse me, excuse me.
Right, the thing is, like, the way that I, the lyrics in my songs are very uplifting and positive. It's like, yo, this is not the bullshit that you're hearing on the radio.
Of
like,
course.
This is the music that, like, yo, like, listen to it. Listen to what I'm saying, because there's some shit in there.
All right. And so like, since we're there, since we're talking about that, we'll get to the big process later. But since we're talking about listening to music,
yeah.
Who do you look at right now that's hot, right now?
Joey Badass is doing it.
Okay.
It's funny, man. Like, I listen to a lot of, like, people that I know. Like my
oh, really?
Friends, like I don't like I listen to the bigger people like who are like killing it, like you know, 21 Savage doing his thing, whatever. Like those guys, I'll listen to them. Migos is killing it, but like, and I'll bump them and like turn up to them. But like people who I like listen
Sit
to,
down and listen to.
Those are like homies that I'm friends with that are like killing it. Like my friend Pat Richards, super talented singer,
yeah,
artist.
Get me in touch.
Yo, he's the man. Like
yeah, of course,
he's the man. He's super talented. Like. Major labels are looking at him, and
that's legit.
Yeah, my other friend PJ Peter James, he's killing it, you know. And so like, not only am I supporting the local artists, but it's also like these are people who I know. Like,
that's like deeper. That's like real. You can understand.
Yeah, it's like word. I heard the song when like it wasn't on the album. Like dope. Oh God, you put it on the album.
So how much of your music? So like I know that rap, it has its own separate category when people look at it. Like when the average Joe looks at it, they listen to like a Taylor Swift song and they're like,
sure.
Oh, that's cute, right?
Yeah.
But when they listen to rap, they're like, oh, he probably means he's gonna go shoot someone, or he probably means that he fucks a lot of people.
Yeah,
how much of that realness do you put in your songs?
I don't put any of that bullshit in my music. I mean, if I'm freestyling, there's a trap beat on, like I'm a fucking, you know what I'm saying? Like get stupid with it, cause like that's the type of.
Yeah, of
vibe you get from that type of beat. But like,
if you're sitting down and writing,
if I'm sitting down and writing something, I want people to like, whoa, like feel it, like every single line means something. It matters. It's there. It's
so
like,
so you're not gonna drop a track, Queen?
No, like
you don't think.
I mean, what do you mean? Like if I was gonna drop a song about smoking weed,
okay,
then yeah, but I would get like intricate. You know, I'd be talking about indicas and sativas and this, that, and the third. Like, I would get poetic with it.
Okay.
I would just be like, yeah, I'm smoking bud. Like, stupid shit. Like, no. Like, though.
Okay, all right. So it makes sense.
Yeah, I've kind of like come to the realization that like my lyrics are very poetic and very like deep, and so you're gonna need to re-listen to it a couple times to like really catch stuff. And like that's the cool thing about my music is that like the more that you're listening to it, the more you're gonna pick up on certain lines that you were like missed before.
Yes.
So you're listening to it and I'm like, you know, promote music you'll actually purchase. And like that's a dope line because people don't promote music that they would buy themselves. Like
definitely not.
They promote music that they get for free, or like the people promote music that they don't even know.
Money-backed business.
Yeah, and they're just a part of the trend and feeding into the trend instead of being like, yo, I went to school with Ian, like he's actually really good. I'm gonna support him. Like I know him. I know who he is.
So like, do you have an architect? Like, do you look at like a Kendrick? Because when you talk, I think Kendrick. That's all I'm thinking.
Kendrick
the
is
time.
Big brother, man. Like Kendrick is dope. Actually, my song "Live Free" got played for TDE.
Oh really?
Yeah, the president of TDE heard my shit, which is cool. Yeah, one of my homies from college, his cousin's a producer.
That's legit.
Yeah, and like I was talking to the cousin, he was like, "Yeah, I played it for Punch," and like I was like, "Dope." And like I already knew that they fucked with it because it's just like a totally different funky vibe, and then like
because with that reggae vibe, that's almost like, I like that.
You know,
it's just the different beat with the intricate poetic lyrics. Yeah, it makes me think outside the box, which makes me think Kendrick.
Yes, and that's like my whole drive to make music. It's like I want people to stop and think, and like, whoa, like, what's he saying? Like, I gotta go Google this, and then you start Googling, and you're like, whoa. yo, come here, gotta listen to this shit. Like, yeah, I mean, like Kendrick, J. Cole, Dizzy Wright, Logic, aka the Underachievers, like all those guys, they're all super duper conscious and like they talk about real topics and they like have the lyrics that make you think. And you're like, yo, like when Eminem raps, everybody has to go pull out a dictionary and rap genius.
Forget about it.
And like,
you gotta look at the lyrics.
You fucking look at the whole damn verse to try to even understand a quarter of it.
It's
when it's just like a one big metaphor for like the America we live in sucks ass. But he just.
It's kind of fucked. It's insane.
Picks and nips and.
So since we're talking about Eminem, you're white. Mm-hmm. You're doing hip hop.
Yeah.
You're rapping.
Yeah.
You're white.
Right.
You're white.
I mean, I'm purple if we're gonna get there, but like.
What's your, are the rappers you know that you talk about, the local ones here in Mass, are they also white?
No, is it split, mixed. Mixed and Jamaican.
Mixed and Jamaican.
Past Jamaican, PJ's mixed.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? Like my friend from Burning Man, she's a singer, she's white, but like she's at another level. I mean, that woman's completely, anyways.
She's good.
Yeah, she's really good.
So being a white rapper, what is that like? Do you feel there's something?
The way I see it is like, dude, like, I studied the culture, I studied the literature, I studied the art, like I studied hip hop.
Mm.
Most of my friends are black, like fuck out of here with that racist shit. Like don't come to me, and like the way I try to rap is I don't want to have that corny white boy sound. You know what
and
I mean?
You're definitely, so would Macklemore be that corny white boy sound? Because I love, like I actually like Macklemore and I get shit from it all the time.
Yeah, no, Macklemore's dope. He's dope. And he's got the fan base to where he can say whatever he wants and make an impact. And like that's what's cool about Macklemore.
Like when he came out with that
like,
song.
G-Eazy. He's like,
oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That like whiny white boy voice. And it's like, like Mike Studd. Super like corny white music. And it's just like, God damn it. Like I'm not a pretty white frat boy. Like I can't, I'm not making that sound. Like I'm making music, like I need people to listen to me, and like I'm actually making music. I'm not bullshitting, talking about bullshit. Like,
see,
so that's the way I have to. That's the way I have to look at it. It's like, dude, like if I'm gonna rap, especially because I'm white.
Yeah.
And I'm like, apparently, it's 2017, and racism is still a fucking thing.
Yeah.
But that's for another day.
Exactly.
Like. I have to make sure that, like, when people look at me, they're like, I already know that their presumption is like, this dude sucks. Like, I'm going to listen to another corny-ass fucking white SoundCloud rapper over some stupid trap beat, and it's going to suck. And then it's like, oh, word, this is dope. This is dope as fuck. Like, yo, I really like this. This is really, really good music. Like, thank you for making this. And I'm like, thank you.
Well, there you go. You know, so. I mean, like, so you believe that you're very good.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And you think, like, you're going to make it. Like, yeah, this is your career. This is your life. This is your dream.
Only the universe knows that for sure. But, like, I have to keep... I'm just trying to do the best that I can do
with
in each
what
moment.
You want?
With what I have right now. I mean, like... I don't have a $50,000 budget. Like some of these rappers, like to make it, you have to have a budget, like guap. For promotion, shows, merch, this, that, and the third. You know what I mean? That all costs money. Like that's what I didn't really get. Like the more I started to study the industry, I was like, yeah, you need a budget for this. Like you need to have
perfect
money.
Because like I told you, we were gonna get back on that process of becoming, getting big, you know, yeah. Making it, breaking it.
And like what I've been doing is just like networking, and having people hear my music. Because that's the most important thing.
Because that's the,
and like
the
I'm not gonna drop an album or a mixtape or a demo tape, because like there's still songs out there that are like Remember Me and Live Free that like people haven't heard yet.
Yeah.
And people need to hear. And it's like when the album comes, like it's gonna be sick. And I'm gonna, you know, it's gonna be dope. I'm gonna have like, you know, well-known artists on there, some spoken word poetry as the interludes and skits.
So you have the shit knocked out.
Yeah, man, like it's all in here. I just like don't have the funds and like the budgeting to like, you know, one of the guys from the Underachievers hit me up. He was like, yeah, I work with you 2,000 for a verse. And I was like, damn, like, I don't have to.
Wait, shut the hell. Wait, that's how it works?
Yeah.
He said $2,000 for a verse on one song?
Yeah. Yeah, man. These rappers are making money, bro. Like, yo, Metro Boomin, bro, if you wanted a beat from him and you weren't, like, one of the homies. Oh, like, dude, that's like a $5,000, $6,000 beat because it's Metro. You know what I mean? Joey Badass. $20,000 a verse.
Wait,
Drake, like $150,000. Like, you know what I mean? Like, cause like, dude, it's Drake. You have Drake on a song with you. You're gonna be a fucking superstar because Drake's got the biggest fan base in the world.
In the world,
anything Drake touches turns to gold. And
so, it really does. Do you get mad when people say Drake's the best rapper?
No, I agree with them.
Oh, thank God.
Well, I mean, I think...
I'm super nervous because I, like...
Nah, Drake's the man. Drake is a genius, dude. Drake dropped an R&B album and sold a million copies in a week.
You hear that, Mumbari? You hear that? Drake's man. The beast. So
he's the man. Like, he's hate on Drake. Like, he fucked J-Lo. Like, he's the man. That's goals.
Fucking...
He almost wiped
Meek
up...
Meek Mill? Jesus.
Yeah, man. Like, he embarrassed Meek Mill. Like, don't fuck with Drake, man. Drake is a genius, dude. He's the man. Like, guy can rap, sing. He's got both demographics. The thing that makes Drake so good is that he's got the girls that can listen to him.
Of course.
And the girls are like, ah! Then you got the homies who are smoking blunts, drinking, sipping, bumping his shit. And then when they're both in the car together,
it's like perfect. You just go
they
from
can
song
both,
to song.
Exactly. And Drake is so consistent throughout his career that, like, you could play Take Care and then you could play Views.
Exactly.
And you could be, like, super happy the entire way through.
Like I'm saying, like Drake, Kendrick, like...
Oh, Kendrick. I mean, Kendrick's in a league of his own, though. Kendrick's, like, talking about Buddhism and meditation.
Saying.
And, you know, on that song, No More Parties in L.A., when he's saying, and it has to good, though, make him say, Nam Myoho Renge-kyo, that's a Buddhist chant.
Oh, yeah.
Like
I've heard that. Yeah.
And I was like, me and my homie looked at each other. We were like, we played it. What did he just say? Because we were chanting Nam Myoho Renge-kyo at the time, like in our own practices.
Oh, yeah.
And we're like, wait a minute. He just chanted in a hip hop song.
Because Kendrick.
What the fuck? Like, yo, that's crazy. Like, he knows. Like, he's meditating. Like, that's crazy. Like, Kendrick's in a whole other level. I mean, I really do hope that Kendrick and J. Cole drop that.
That's what I'm saying. J. Cole is.
I, like, really hope so. I really hope so. I'm like one of those people like going on the internet blogs like every day like, yo, is it here? Like, fuck. I gotta wait another day. Damn, like.
No, but they're fire. But so yeah. Tell me, so this meditation thing, what's it all about? Why
meditation,
do you do it?
Meditation is a very simple process. It's... But repetitive. And when you When you could do it for 5 minutes when you wake up or when you go to bed, or you could do it for 10 minutes, you know, when you wake up in the middle of the day and at night, or you can do, you know, 10 minutes once a week.
See, that's what I'm saying. Cause like, you know why I like talking? Cause you're like on the creative side. Like your shit's, you're like big picture creative. Like I'm a nurse. Like that's what, like my day job, I'm a nurse. Yeah. I'm so type A, like I need every minute to be like effective.
Yeah.
So like I downloaded apps to meditate. Like I can't, I can't even, like I don't like, when I'm meditating, I feel like I'm wasting time because I should get.
Nah, you're making time for yourself. And that's the best thing. It's like, you want to be productive. You meditating for 10 minutes, like, dude, there's 24 hours in the day.
Yeah.
That's a lot of fucking time. There's 60 minutes in each hour.
Yeah.
60 times 24 is a lot of minutes. You gotta tell me you don't have 10 to sit there like this? Like, I'm loud. You see me, I'm loud, I'm out there. I'm, but like, and I'm ADD as a motherfucker. Like, but I could sit here for an hour and just, and just, and then when I wake up, my head is cleared, my body is like clean. It looks like it feels like I just took a shower, like a really refreshing shower.
That's
and like a really good nap. Like, you know, like when you in the middle of the day and you're groggy and shit, and you take like a 30 minute nap, and you wake up and you're like, I'm ready, let's go. Like, I can go.
So when you, because for me, like, so the thing is, I did it for like 3 weeks and then I dropped off. That's just honesty. But like the first week and a half was, it's like impossible to do. And then it got better. Like I was able to do
like
it.
Anything, dude. Like you can't walk into a hospital and go fucking do brain surgery, man. You gotta start off with the tummy aches and shit. You know what I mean? And like, you can't, but the more that you're doing it, meditation is like anything. And the thing that people get it twisted with is that like it's so simple that people just like are mind boggled by it. People are like, what do you mean you just sit there and breathe? I'm like, you sit there, you take this thing, you put it over there. You know, I play music with it, so like I can sync because I'm a sonic person, so like I like to hear the sound of the music, and like the music literally calms me down. Like I could be all hyped up, and then if meditation music plays, I'm like, and it's awesome. I mean, meditation has changed my life, you know. Meditation has helped got rid of my anxiety, you know, the depression, the stress, like anything worse. Yeah,
I mean. Is that real?
Yeah, hell yeah. This is real. I mean, like.
I'm sorry.
This is dope. No, don't be. It's dope. Cause like, I found meditation. Yeah, I found meditation. So it's like now like, oh, if I get anxious, like, all right, I gotta meditate. Or like when I am feeling anxious or down, like I realize I haven't been meditating. You know what I mean? So it's like, through meditation, I can solve my own problems in everyday life. And I can also find answers now. Like, I'm tapping into another world of consciousness, into another realm, another dimension. So now, I'm starting to understand things that I never even thought existed. You know, with past lives and afterlives, and how life is just one cycle, and we are just living in different lives. Like we never died. We've just been continued to live and live for thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of years. And through these past lives, influential people in our present day, like our mothers, girlfriends, whatever, our best friends, more coincidence or not, have been a part of our past lives as well. Mm. And like, I read a book called Many Lives, Many Masters by Brian Weiss. Go read that book.
Many Lives, Many Masters.
Many Lives, Many Masters. And it's about this woman, this gorgeous girl in Miami, who is a model, super hot.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And yeah. But the thing is, she's got severe anxiety, severe depression, severe phobia. I mean, this girl inside is fucked up, shattered, broken. Yeah. And she's gone to psychiatrist after psychiatrist, therapist after therapist. Nobody can fix her. She keeps having these things. And she keeps telling all of her therapists and this and that keep telling her to go to Brian Weiss. And Brian Weiss is the author who wrote the book. And like the interlude to the book is like, I wish I could make this up. I'm not making this up. I didn't believe it until it happened to me. Like, it's true. Mm-hmm. It happens. This is real.
Yeah.
And he's like, it took me 4 years to even think about writing this book because of what happened. And what happens is, he meets Catherine, the woman, and he tries all these traditional techniques of trying to get rid of her anxiety or her phobias, and nothing works. And he's like, he's heard about past life hypnosis, which is like a form of hypnosis that taps into your past life regressions. And maybe something that happened in a past life
is something
is the reason that. Is the reason behind why you're so anxious now or you're scared now.
Yeah.
So he's like, that doesn't work. Whatever. I mean, I'll try.
Yeah, you know, you're out of options.
He's out of options. So he tries it, and he's completely mind blown by it. This woman keeps having past life regressions of when she was a slave master's like housewife or housemaid, and she got beat. She got like whooped and hung. And then another past life, she was a young girl in polio who died from polio. And then she was a man who you know, got whipped or something. And then like she all of these past lives, and these are from like 20,000 years ago, you know, 10,000, 5,400 years ago, like way back. But everything she was doing, every past life she had, was there was a specific person or like part of that past life that was all intertwining and adding up to her present day situation. And so through these,
causing all of those,
which is causing all these severe phobias and anxieties and this and that. And then she would tap into these, like she would tap into this another level of consciousness, and she would have these past life regressions, and she would start speaking through the spirits, and like she would just drop like wisdom. Straight wisdom, like that was it. Like you read it, and I was like, "Whoa, I have to read that again." Whoa, holy shit! And like she would only reach this level of consciousness through the masters, when the masters would come through her and speak for her.
Mm.
And so this taught me. It was like, "Whoa!" Like everyone I've ever met, I'm like going through like all these people who I've met who have had some type of influence in my life, like. There's a good chance that I met them in a past life. And I was like, I was talking to all my professors who like influenced me to write, like my poetry professor. I was like, yo, you were definitely a mom of mine in a past life. And she was like, absolutely, like 100%. And yeah, like it's crazy shit. And it's like, it's funny because it's like, I always try to play devil's advocate with this type of thing.
Yeah, and I was about to.
Yeah, yeah. You always have to, because there's going to be people out there like, okay, Ian, sure, dude, like stop taking all the acid in the world and come back to reality. And then it's like you read these books and then you start having these experiences for yourself.
Yeah.
Or like hearing about it or seeing other people have them. And then it's like, whoa, like this is like true. Like this happens. Like, and the thing, and the coolest thing is about it is anybody can do it.
Yeah, so like everyone can do it. Like my biggest question, my biggest, you know, devil's advocate pushing back would be the population is continuing. It's like growing. We're 7 billion and growing.
Yeah.
Right? So it's not like...
But there's a lot of people meditating now. There's a huge growth of consciousness and mindfulness. I mean, dude, Newton.
No, what I'm... What
drive down Newton and there's 10 yoga shops.
Oh, of course. No, but what I'm saying they were less people before us. So are some of us like brand new? Like are we just starting out? And some of us are reincarnated? So is this like you know what I mean? Like
you think,
we started
think
with people... Lucy, that one girl in the savannah.
Yeah.
Right? Her kids, one of her kids was not a person before, right? So like you said, so there's actual people being born every day. But then on top of that,
there's also people being reincarnated. And like I was actually with a person yesterday, and he was talking
deep shit.
He was talking about how like he is a reincarnation of his grandmother, his great aunt, like all these people who died. Damn. And he's like, yeah, like I'm them. And like it's crazy, man. Like when you're reading about this and you're hearing about it, it's like, whoa, holy shit. But then it's like you start applying it to your life. You start, dude, I mean like I said, if you meditate for 5 minutes a day for a month and then look back on how you felt before you started meditating to where you're at now, you'll see a difference. Like, and that's 5 minutes.
Yeah.
That's 5 minutes. Like, you can meditate while you're taking a shit.
or like while you're getting into the car.
I think I found my meditation spot.
For real, like yeah, like no, I mean, in all, or in the shower.
Yeah.
Like I meditate in the shower sometimes because that's when
it's
you're
like the greatest feeling. It's
that's when you're the most grounded because you're rooted. You're there. The water's on you. You're peacefulness. Like you're in your own stuff. Like practice taking deep breaths. Next time you take a shower, dude, just sit there and like. People who like smoke pot and don't meditate, I'm like, dude, it's an imaginary bong rip. Yeah. Hold it in, you know what I'm saying?
We'll
and let it out.
We'll practice that a little bit.
You know what I mean? Like, and you get doing this and you get into this rhythm of breath and your whole body just opens up and becomes totally relaxed. And then you hop out of the shower and you're like, whoa. I'm ready
you
to
go. Love this shit.
Yo, this is me, man. Like, this is what I do. Like,
Ian, I'm like impressed and proud. Like, this is legit.
This has, man, because, like, dude, like, at North, man, like, a lot I was misunderstood, you know? A lot of people misunderstood me and, like, didn't want to give me the time of day to sit down and, like, get to know me. But they would see me in school and I'd be rapping my ass off. And I'm like, yo, this dude is crazy, bro. Like, it's 9:30 in the morning. Why is he rapping Big L out loud for everybody to hear? And it's like, fuck off, bro. Like, I got 7 hours in this motherfucker. Like, I'm a jam the entire time I'm here. And I'm going to do my schoolwork. I'm going to do my homework. And then I'm going to leave. And then I'm going to jam on my way home. And when I get home, I'm a jam. Like,
yeah, that kid's, that's the way to go through life.
Yeah,
it's legit.
Yeah, and but it's beautiful now because I've got people who I went to North with, like, whoa, man, cool. And I'm like, thank you, brother. Because, like, you know, I've forgiven a lot of people. And, like, now when I reach back out, it's like, dude, like, not that Ian from 2009. Like, stop.
Exactly.
Like, got 6 years now, like
fuck off,
bro. Yeah, like fuck off, like in all seriousness, like I'm trying to remain peaceful and shit, but like fuck off, dude, like stop judging me on shit that I did at North. Like, you don't even know me now. Like, and if you did know me now, you'd probably think a lot different of me.
You know what I mean? High school's high school, right?
Yeah, oh dude, I laugh exactly. at it. It's beautiful. I love it. I laugh at it because it's like, yo man, like, you knew me at North. That's hilarious. What was I like? Yeah, I was pretty loud as fuck, right? Ah, that's
let me break it to you. You're not that quiet now.
Yeah. Right? I'm always out.
But that's good.
You know, yeah, it's, at the end of the day, it's all love. And like my experiences at North strengthened me. And they made me realize a lot. And like, I'm thankful for those people. And I'm thankful
good
for
and
those.
Bad?
Yeah, man. I'm all of it. I'm more for the bad, honestly. Like, I'm thankful for that because like those situations, I didn't understand why they happened at the time, but now that I've been growing and getting mindful and like, oh, my bad, guys, like I fucked up, like I realized what I was doing, and that's probably why you guys
like, so everyone fucked up, but like,
yeah, it's all love at the end of the day, man. It took us a little longer to find themselves, and when you find yourself, it's a beautiful thing. Some people good find themselves through nursing, some people find themselves through baking, and some people find themselves
through
rap and meditation.
That's legit. So advice for the young rappers out there. I mean, you're a young rapper, but like the rapper in ninth grade right now who's loud and obnoxious, what do you tell that rapper?
Study yourself, study music, study the people around you, and try to come up with something different.
That's legit.
Yeah.
That's fucking legit.
Because everybody wants to be a rapper, man, but not everybody's going to make it. You gotta have something. I mean, like,
you heard it here.
You gotta have something.
He's
different.
He's going through that shit right now.
Yeah, I'm still living it.
Exactly.
Still living it.
That's legit. What's it called? What are you? You did 5-year plan, 10-year plan. 5 years from now.
Ooh, I like these questions.
Yeah.
These questions are fun. 5 years from now, I see myself owning my own mindfulness business.
Mm.
I would really love to be getting mindfulness and crystal healing.
No, we're gonna talk about this again. Like, go, I'm gonna go read some books and come back with a little bit more knowledge.
Bro, they got mad books in this library, bro. I'll tell you that right now. They got hella books. They got cases of books.
All right.
We can go pick some out right after this, for real. And no, what was the question? I'm sorry.
5 years, 10
5 years. 5 years, I see myself having an album.
Yeah.
Having my poetry book published, if not two,
There you go.
Because I have, like I said, 100 poems. Like, I could put 30 in a book.
That's awesome.
You know, and then have a deluxe version with 35 and charge more, you know what I'm saying? But I want to have my book published, want to have my album out, want to manifest a tour, like, or at least doing festivals.
Yeah.
Like, on a bigger scale. Not like, you know, the 500 people audience, you know.
So you're talking about like 5,000.
Yeah, like, I want to be out there, like a Bonnaroo type of style.
Mm.
Big, big audiences. I want to have my own mindfulness business. With crystal healing, Reiki, meditation, you know, sound healing.
Shit.
All that. And, like, I want to incorporate that in the schools, man. Like, and like, imagine if you were at North and there was a little office where you could go when you're feeling stressed out or anxious or depressed or whatever the hell is going on with you. You can go to this guy in this room and sit there and meditate for 10, 15 minutes in the middle of the school day and go back out. And, like, that would be so influential, not only for that person, but for the whole school. To have, like, a mindfulness center where somebody can go and meditate or draw, paint, or whatever for, like, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, gain themselves back, and then go back in the classroom charged up, clear-headed, aware, awakened, up. Clear-headed, not stressed out, anxious, you know, fucking bugging out, like, depressed and shit, like, dude.
I love that idea.
In all high schools, all middle schools, dude, and just, like, if you get the younger generations into this mindfulness thing, like, we're all discovering this now in our late teens, early 20s, mid-20s.
It's blowing up, though.
Like, dude, there's a huge wave, and, like, that's why it's perfect that, like, I'm doing this, because it's, like, I'm not worried about it catching on. I know it's going to catch on.
Oh, yeah, because, like...
Especially now, because everybody's bugging out about the goon that they put in office. But this is not a politics talk, but, like, that man is going to cause a lot of anxiety and a lot of depression.
Oh, hell yeah.
And a lot of stress for millions of people.
Yeah.
And it's like, if they are aware that they can meditate and manifest what they want within themselves, they don't need a goon with Cheeto skin color and fucking goofy ass hair to fuck with them. Because they know that it's like, okay, you don't really control me because I control myself.
Amen.
I can manifest whatever the fuck I want to manifest.
There you go.
So yeah.
Ian, shit's been a fucking pleasure.
Dude, blessings.
Thank you. So thank you, the man. Thing is... This is your first, this is my first, like, official first interview.
Dope.
You were my first.
Awesome.
And five years from now, when you have your book published, when you're going on
tour, it's going to be so much fun.
And I call you up and I say, I still need to.
Yeah, I got you, brother. I got you. It's all love. You have the number.
Perfect. Holy shit. All right. You heard it here first. Ian Sadaloff. Wait, I'm sorry. Is that even your rap name?
1142. 1142.
1142. Excuse me. 1142. Check him out. Everything's going to be in the description. Ian, thanks again. It's a pleasure. Catch you guys later.
Namaste.
Namaste. Yo, remember when no one would listen to me? Now they remember my visions through imagery. Keep within the symmetry. Yes, I thrive off of energy. I dive into Hennessy and Sensi trees. Cause the three of us connect like centipedes and live for centuries. Recreating memories and presents coming early on December 23. And season changing colors faster than November leaves. And I never had A's and B's. Always passed with C's and D's. And I did it with ease. Never giving an F. Went through nothing for these G's just to stay H.I. J.K. L's going round rapping like Eminem. And oh, peace, man, I'm lifted to another dimension where you're at. The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.